Welcome to Live Living. My name is Catherine Kinley, a columnist for Live Living e-magazine. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Brenda Stockdale. Welcome, Ms. Stockdale.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen. It's nice to be here.
Brenda is the director of mind-body medicine at radiotherapy clinics and Georgia Cancer Centers and a national pioneer in the practical application of psychoneuroimmunology. Her programs are endorsed by leading specialists and have been implemented in hospitals, cancer centers, and primary care practices. And she co-created, along with Dr. Bernie Siegel, national retreats for exceptional cancer patients with life-challenging illnesses, also known as ECAPs. In addition to her private practice, Ms. Stockdale is a consultant for corporate and healthcare organizations and developed a health psychology program for primary care settings, specializing in preventive medicine, autoimmunity, and stress-related conditions. Brenda's undergraduate and graduate degrees in behavioral science and health psychology are from Wesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and she completed clinical training program in mind-body medicine at Harvard Medical School. Ms. Stockdale, I am absolutely fascinated with the six-week program in mind-body medicine outlined in your recent book, entitled You Can Beat the Odds, The Surprising Factors Behind Chronic Disease and Cancer. It's been praised by Harvard scientists, physicians, epidemiologists as, quote, a prescription in and of itself for maximizing one's health, and the health book to read this year. Especially topic of week one really caught my attention. It was entitled The Biology of Miracles, The Science Behind Beating the Odds. But Ms. Stockdale, would you please share with us what compelled you to write this book?
Well, years ago, the chief oncologist and director of the Helen and Harry Gray Cancer Center in New England approached us because they treat 50,000 people a year there, and he really wanted a program that showcased the evidence behind some of the new discoveries in mind-body medicine for patients to take use of. There are compelling studies that show us that there are changes we can make, relatively small changes in everyday life that produce a really big effect. And so the program has been ongoing now for nearly 16 years in cancer centers. And the program, as you noted, really contains the essential ingredients that boost the effectiveness of any protocol. And so as patients began coming to the program, they would bring along a friend or family member, maybe someone who had high blood pressure, autoimmunity, rheumatoid arthritis, whatever. And we know that these same practices, the same evidence behind these methods, improve outcome in chronic illness across the board and are effective in prevention. And so people wanted something that they could take home to refer to, a program that they could really invite someone who lived in Wisconsin or Alaska or Japan to be able to attend. And so the book was the only way to really make that happen. So we've showcased the evidence and outlined the entire 6 weeks in the book so that individuals can really get the full experience as if they're participating in the class and its pages.
Wow, so this is applicable not just for people suffering from life-threatening diseases such as cancer, but also just some of our more ordinary run-of-the-mill, I shouldn't say run-of-the-mill, but our most common maladies such as high blood pressure and indigestion and so forth. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We're really focusing on prevention. These methods outlined actually help us to prevent disease. And so that's what we'd really like to do. It can also increase creativity and performance. And most importantly, these methods really help us to design a life that suits us. And that's, I think, where the real beauty lies.
Well, this just sounds very fascinating. And I was particularly interested, you mentioned about small changes that we can make in our day-to-day life that will have a huge impact on our health. I was particularly interested in the information you share in your chapter regarding managing our stress, concerning the simple function of breathing. It would seem that breathing should be on autopilot, and we should just be able to just not even have to give it any thought at all. But from what I read in your book, we really need to fully understand how vital, effective breathing really is.
You're right, and I'm glad for you to that you mentioned that, because Andrew Weil and I were recently interviewed for an article in Oprah magazine, and we were each asked the question, what one thing could someone do to improve their health? And we both answered, breathe correctly. So it's vital. And yet, because of our cultural fascination with the military posture and our history of whalebone corsets, girdles, and Spanx, this may not be as natural as we might think it is.
Well, when we're first born, you mentioned, we instinctively breathe correctly. So how is it that we breathe naturally as babies?
Well, that's diaphragmatically, and we can think about puppies and kittens and babies, and we know what moves on them. Is it their, I ask folks, is it their chest or their tummy? And we all know that it's their tummies that are moving. And that
right.
extends on through, you know, early childhood frequently. And then at some point, and we're speaking about our culture really, and at some point we wind up holding our stomach in. And when that happens, that constricts the diaphragm, and it reduces the body's ability to regulate. It actually sends a biological imperative to our adrenal glands that we're in fight or flight. And when that happens, the effects are system-wide, and not for the good either, because most of the time we're not out running a tiger. We're just sitting at our desk worried.
Well, you mentioned in your book, you talk about the chemical cascade of chest breathing, that it releases an arsenal of killer chemicals, as you put it. And we also hear frequently about the importance of maintaining a healthy pH of our bodies. That's the ratio of acid versus alkaline level in our bodies. How can a high acid level affect us?
Well, that steals essential minerals from vital organs. And then to buffer that effect, the body has to really contort itself, and it leaches energy from our cells and results in maladaptive responses throughout the system. One of the illustrations I like to use with folks is that our lungs, if we were to lay out end to end the alveoli or the little air sacs in our lungs, they would make up a tennis court. But when we breathe high in our chest, kind of gulping for air or holding our stomach in or wearing Spanx or girdles or whatever it may be, or just tight jeans, then that actually causes us to use only half our alveoli. So we're really reducing the oxygen-carrying capacity throughout our bodies by half, and that affects brain function. It affects the way our bodies respond to any kind of crisis, and it really reduces our ability to repair. So that biological imperative or that chemical cascade affects every nerve, every cell, and every fiber of our being when that happens.
That's remarkable. Who would have thought that just the simple act of breathing could have such an impact on so many systems of our body?
Exactly.
So because it is so widespread and so effective to everything, is the awareness of the importance of breathing affecting other advancements and other specialties of medicine?
Absolutely. We see in psychiatry this method is being used, diaphragmatic breathing or breathing with our tummy, is being used to stop panic attacks. Because, of course, you're interrupting that message that's being sent to the adrenal glands. And through that gentle act of diaphragmatic breathing, you're really telling yourself on a biological level that all is well. It's also important to know that even if we're chest breathing throughout the day, when we go to sleep at night, our body goes back to diaphragmatic breathing. But if we've been breathing with our chest or clavicular breathing all day long, that correction at night isn't enough to reduce harmful levels of stress hormones that allow the body to make sufficient repair. So what we really want folks to do is to practice this natural, healthy way of breathing throughout the day to keep harmful levels of stress hormones low so that when we go to sleep at night, our body can move straight into repair. And during the night, the person isn't having to, you know, spend a lot of vital energy just reducing cortisol and other stress hormones, but can move straight into repair. the other ways that it's affecting medicine in a variety of fields, anytime we're chest breathing and flooding ourselves with these harmful stress hormones, we're negatively impacting insulin regulation. We're stealing calcium from our bones. These high levels of stress hormones act as battery acid on the memory center of the brain. They lower essential natural killer cells, which help protect our body from invaders. And these hormones also shrink telomeres, which are an important biomarker of aging. So, and eventually even affect genetic expression. So unhealthy breathing stimulates, as you mentioned, this cascade of chemicals, these unhealthy chemicals that affect all of us, even the way we think. So at Harvard, my colleagues are going into the school systems, and they teach teachers and students this reminder of healthy breathing in order to improve not only test-taking results, because of the way the brain functions when we reduce stress hormones, but also to prevent stress-related illness later in life.
Amazing. Can you, as important as this is, can you share with us a few techniques to help us relearn this proper breathing?
And I'm glad you used the phrase relearn. Everyone is different with their ability to kind of relearn this. Some people don't need to relearn it at all. There are some of us walking around out there who breathe diaphragmatically almost all the time. And for them, it's really easy because they just notice when they happen to be stressed, they put one hand perhaps on their chest, one hand on their tummy, and they might notice that, you know, their chest is breathing. Or they'll notice that their hand temperature has dropped. And so just clammy, cold hands or an anxious feeling can let us know that we're not breathing optimally. So some folks don't have too much difficulty retraining themselves to breathe this way during the everyday, you know, work day. I wasn't one of those individuals. I had a really difficult time retraining my body to do this. And so for me and so for folks like myself, I took something that they use when they teach this method to kids with asthma. They have the child lay down on the floor and they put a book on their tummy. And the goal is to make the book fall off with their breath, you know. So for me, I would lay down and I would put one hand on my chest, one hand on my abdomen, and I would literally practice this way of breathing. So if you're like me and you're someone who's been, you know, either holding in your stomach or breathing with your chest most of your life, then I always recommend that you lay down, use a recliner, maybe watch a boring television program and get a little drowsy. Because as you begin to get sleepy, your body's going to naturally breathe diaphragmatically. And so then you can kind of capture that feeling and then practice during the day. We also have a tool that's been really effective in helping people do this, and it's free to download on my website. It's called Autogenics, and it's just a 5-minute audio that really helps individuals to attach to this natural breathing style and then be able to continue with that. So we encourage folks to do that 2 or 3 times a day to kind of restore this natural process.
So this sounds like these are some exercises we can perform that we don't need to set aside a certain segment of the day in addition to all the other tasks we have to accomplish throughout our day. It's something we can just naturally incorporate into our other activities. Is that correct?
Exactly. This is something that once you've mastered it, and again, that's different for each individual. Once you've mastered it, then it can happen just effortlessly. You can just notice a subtle change, like I mentioned, in your hand temperature perhaps, and then just begin breathing correctly, and your capillaries will expand, your hands will warm up, and you'll be right back on track. So it's something, we're already breathing. It's free. We're already doing it. So just by a little conscious effort, we can breathe in a way that will support our health and prevent stress-related disorders and immune dysregulation later in life.
Well, this just sounds ideal. It's available to everyone. It's very inexpensive, in fact, free.
Right.
What a wonderful opportunity that we all have to us. For more information, I would encourage our listeners to absolutely visit your website. That's brendastockdale.com. check out that free recording, that Autogenesis.
Autogenesis. Yep.
On your website. And we will have a link to your website on this month's edition of Live Living E-Magazine. And also, I would also encourage our listeners to purchase your book entitled You Can Beat the Odds. I know it's available on Amazon. And what are other sources for this book?
Barnes & Noble, any bookseller should have it.
Fantastic. I can't wait to get my copy. I haven't received it yet, but when I do, I'm going to be starting a study group with many of my clients as we work through your book together and learn this amazing opportunity to us. Thank you very much, Ms. Stockdale, for sharing this remarkable information
with
our Live Living listeners.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, I would encourage you, please take a few deep breaths and have a blessed day.